All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, off-season combine week edition of the show here. Although there is so much more going on than just that, we've got a big one planned for you today. So thanks for putting me on in your car or putting me on in your headset while you're on the treadmill or putting me on anywhere, whatever you happen to be doing when you listen to this show. I appreciate it, and we're going to have some fun today as some more things are coming to light little by little, and being at the Combine this week is about, like I said, so much more than just the Combine because you've got all the league people in one place. Everybody's talking, everybody's available, and so things get out there. And the Bucks, for example, you know, all the media's there. Jason Light's there. Bruce Arians is there. Everybody's asking him, hey, what about the quarterback situation? What's going on? That, and they're talking a little more than they had been. Not that anything is happening, because it isn't, and it won't until the first couple weeks in March. But we got some more news we'll get to, and some things like that. Of course, the new CBA, now some of the players have been tweeting out things about how they're going to vote no, but some other ones say they're going to vote yes, and it's going to be a process to get all the votes in and counted. And, you know, this has ramifications with other quarterbacks, like the Patriots are supposedly waiting on the whole Tom Brady thing, not because he's really leaving, but because they don't know what the rules are going to be yet, if there's a CBA. But then Brady's got rumors. He's told friends, I'm going somewhere else, is the report. I think it was Ian Rappaport reporting that, or Daniel Jeremiah, one of those two guys. I get them confused. But anyway, all these things are intertwined right now. So we'll kind of try and paint the picture as it stands right now on today's show. And before we do anything else, I want to thank our good friends and our sponsors at Bill Curry Ford. They got a couple things going right now. First of all, always going on is the nationwide lifetime warranty. And this is the single, to me, for all the reasons you could go and look at different places for cars. And you're going to go online and search first, right? I mean, that's what I did. And you know, maybe keep like 40 tabs open the way I do about, oh, I like this one. This one's interesting. Websites, dealerships, Craigslist, whatever you want, you know. But then you get down to it, and the single biggest thing that Bill Curry Ford does that no one else does is the nationwide lifetime warranty, because you bring that car in, and it can be new, it can be pre-owned, it can be used, okay? It doesn't have to be one of the brand new ones. And after 3 years, 4 years, it doesn't matter how long you have the car. If you're the one that bought it and you still have it, you can bring it back in if there's engine trouble, and you are covered under the nationwide lifetime warranty. And that is a complete separator as far as Bill Curry Ford is concerned with other places, on top of the already transparent online pricing you'll get if you go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E. And remember, not only do you get the warranty, you get 10 years roadside assistance. You don't need AAA or anything like that. And then you get 1 year of free service, so all your oil changes and all that stuff taken care of for the first year as well. Check them out or go see them in person a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. I happened to go to a spring training game the other day. Speaking of Raymond James Stadium and Dale Mabry Highway. Excuse me. And it was the Rays-Yankees over at Legends Field, or Steinbrenner Field, I still call it Legends Field. So I went over there and I parked in the stadium lot for Raymond James and just walked across the street. And it's always cool because, you know, you park, or at least I make it a point if I can, to park on the actual plot of land where the sombrero rested and where the field was. You can still kind of tell. Well, you can see where the stadium was, just like a circular driveway around it, and the sombrero was circle-shaped. And so you can kind of deduce from there where that rectangle was that made up the actual field. And I was trying to park my car right on it. And the reason I'm telling you this is because every time I go there, it makes me think about all the years I've been a Bucks fan, not just the past over 20 years now at Raymond James Stadium. In fact, the Bucks have played at Raymond James Stadium now as long as they played at the Sombrero. But I think back to all those years in the 80s when I was a really young kid, and in the 90s when I was still a kid but kind of more of an adolescent. And I think even about the 70s when my parents and my grandparents and all my family, you know, and the Bucks were just starting out. I think about all that every time I go. Really, anytime I drive down Himes or anytime I drive down Dale Mabry or anything, I always think of the Sombrero when I drive by the site. So I'm thinking about it this week because, you know, this Tom Brady thing keeps coming up And I keep hearing Bucks fans bring it up. Even Bruce Arians himself actually said the name Tom Brady, like at the combine this week, like I was saying, the way everybody's talking because everybody's there in Indianapolis. You know, Bruce Arians got asked, hey, who are a couple people that would make you, you know, get out of your chair and pick the phone up and say, hey, I'm going to look at this person and pursue this person? And Arians said, I mean, he's very candid. This isn't like a big secret. He said, well, Tom Brady's one. He said Rivers is another one. He said, we'll see. And everything with Jameis Winston at the combine has been very lukewarm. It's been very tepid. And a lot of people think that maybe that's just because the Bucks are trying to negotiate through these types of quotes and have it where the Bucks can let Jameis know, hey, we don't need you that bad, buddy, so don't think you're getting a big number here. Go test the market if you want to, whatever. We're not all that desperate. If we keep you, great. If not, whatever. And that it's all just a mind game to keep the number down. And I don't think it is. I mean, I think the Bucks really are kind of lukewarm. I think that the last two games of the season did a lot of damage when the Bucks were 7-7 and had won, you know, four in a row and were playing really well. And it was like, hey, you know, it's probably too late for the playoffs, which it was at that point. They needed like 8,000 things to happen. But still, to finish 9-7 or even 8-8 and you know, come back from where they came back from and have Winston starting to really put it together would go a long, long way toward everybody's attitude, and especially Bruce Arians' attitude about re-signing him and bringing him back. And then he had those last two games where he threw six interceptions. The Bucks had two close losses, so the interceptions really did hurt. And of course, the final one was in overtime on the first freaking play of overtime when the Bucks won the toss and he throws a walk-off pick six. That did a lot of damage. Like, that did a lot of damage. It's a long season. There's so many different things, and it's not just one season. Now he's got 5 years, but there's so many different plays. No one play is going to be the difference between him coming back or not. But if there is one play that had an outsized effect, an outsized role in how Arians thinks of it, Jameis, I think it was that last play of the Falcons game. I don't think that's going out on a limb. So anyway, going back to what I'm trying to get to in a very roundabout way, the sombrero history, the 70s and 80s, the 90s, my childhood, being not just a Bucks fan, but a Tampa sports fan my entire life. And I was born in 1980, and the only three teams professionally that I love are the Bucks, the Lightning, and the Rays. And then, of course, my alma mater, the University of Florida. But that's it. I'm a Tampa sports guy. And so when I hear all this Tom Brady stuff, here's one thing that I've been conditioned to know, not just by somebody who indoctrinated me, but just over years and years of personal experiences following all the Tampa teams, okay? I don't know if Tom Brady's leaving the Patriots or not. I still don't think he is, even though NFL insider guys on Twitter are continuing to report that it looks less and less likely that he'll be back. I still think he'll be back in New England. But let's say they're right. Let's say he is going somewhere else, okay? Everything I know, everything I've grown up seeing, everything that's woven into the fiber of my psyche as a Tampa Bay sports fan, all those things go against the idea of Tom Brady coming here. And I don't mean that it goes against them and that I don't want it to happen. I'm saying all those things, you know how people say, I've seen this movie before? Things like Tom Brady to the Bucks aren't a thing. They don't happen. Like, it's all, you know, it's like, there's certain things in life you hear about that are either good news or bad news, but they're just things that it's always other people. You know, oh, so-and-so's cousin had a scratch-off ticket that was worth $500,000, or bad things, so-and-so got their house broken into. Maybe that has happened to you. Stuff like that, it just always seems to be other people, you know, like, at least in my life, and I don't, you know, I always knock on wood, I've never had anything like really, really like dramatically crazy happen, good or bad. And I you know, I hope to always keep it that way. Even if it means nothing dramatically crazy good will happen, I just, you know, you just don't want anything dramatically crazy bad. But just, you know, extremes like that. So that would, the Tom Brady thing would be a dramatically crazy thing. Like, that's just not a Tampa thing when it comes to Tampa sports. It'd be the Colts maybe, or you hear the Raider, or all these different teams. I don't know who the hell it's going to be if it's not New England, but that's just not a Tampa thing, right? Like a Tampa Bay sports thing? Like, what's the craziest, like, biggest splash any Tampa Bay sports team has ever made? And yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about winning championships. I know the Bucks have won the Super Bowl. The Lightning have won the Stanley Cup. The Rays have been in the World Series. And that's great. I mean, that's those are things that even though they're awesome, they're not dramatically crazy. You would expect to have something like that happen over, you know, decades and decades, at least once in a while. But, like, I remember Hardy Nickerson coming to the Bucks in the mid-90s, and it was like, oh my God, like, dude, we got this huge free agent signing. Hey, this is different now. Like, Hardy Nickerson, this is a big deal, and it was a big deal. And Hardy Nickerson did help turn the Bucks around. And before that, I think the biggest splash thing that ever happened to the Bucks was what, Alvin Harper? If we want to go back that far. I don't know how many of you guys have been around long enough, but I remember when I was a kid, we signed Alvin Harper, and the Bucks never got guys like that. Like, we didn't do that. Like, we weren't the team that went out in free agency and got a big-name stud. And Alvin Harper, you know, as good as he was part of that tandem with Michael Irvin with the Cowboys, and, you know, it didn't pan out here for those of you that weren't around and don't remember. You probably don't even need me to tell you, but it didn't work out that well, and Alvin Harper ended up being a big free agent bust. But either way, like, that's not even my point. My point is just when they signed him, they was like, oh man, we got Alvin Harper? Like, I couldn't believe it as a kid. Like, my team had done something that, one, was aggressive, that, two, was going to get him on ESPN. Like, people were going to talk about the butt. Like, that just wasn't our style. And by the way, I'm fine with all this. I don't want to make it sound like I'm complaining about this. You know, we're little old Tampa Bay. We're not New York. We're not Boston. We're not Chicago or LA. We're not the team or the city. We're not going to be the first story on SportsCenter. Even when the Bucks, this is how into my psyche it is, like being like second, third, or even fourth banana behind bigger teams, bigger markets. Even when when the Bucks won the Super Bowl, I was like, I hesitated. Like, I wonder if the Bucks will lead SportsCenter tonight. Probably, right? I mean, they have to. Like, they just won the Super Bowl, and I'm like, yeah, you think they'll be the first one on SportsCenter? Like, I'm not sure, you know. There's probably something with an NBA team or something, you know, or Kobe or LeBron, or back then LeBron wasn't around yet. Whoever, you know, there's always something bigger than us. So even when we do something like win the Super Bowl or the Lightning win the Stanley Cup, are we going to lead off? And if you think, we're not quite the biggest, right? Like, there's always somebody. It's like beating into my psyche, okay? And I kind of like it. I kind of like it. Let all the other cities and markets have all that stuff. Screw them. I don't care about them. I've never been a spotlight guy. So I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying, like, you know the phrase, can you imagine? Kind of gets overused sometimes. It's kind of a cliche, but I mean it quite literally right now. Can you imagine if Tom Brady actually ended up with the Bucks after all this? I literally cannot. I just can't. I literally can't picture it. Can't picture him in a Bucks uniform. One, because we don't know what the Bucks uniform is yet for 2020. But whatever the hell it ends up being, I cannot picture him in it. No way. So we could pull out all the advanced metrics. I've already done a little bit of looking at it. You know, how good is Tom Brady anymore? Patriots struggled last year, but it wasn't. If you look really at the numbers more deeply, and we can get into this if it seems more likely in future shows, but if you get into it, Tom Brady was pretty good last year, and his receivers and the people around, you know, the Patriots did not have a lot there. Certainly didn't have what we had, offensively I'm talking about, at every other position besides quarterback. And of course, we did. We didn't have the quarterback part most of the year. And the offensive line part, a lot of it too. But anyway, my point is, Tom Brady, if you look around the league, and it's not just the Bucks who have to do this, it would be the Patriots too, if they're going to move on. And I know, you know, I'm the same way a lot of you probably are. Oh, it's Bill Belichick. I mean, he'll figure it out. But Jarrett Stidham, are they going to get Andy Dalton from the Bengals? I mean, I just, like, they have to look at what's behind door number two, just like Bruce Arians said. What's behind door number two? If they don't get Brady back, who else? And, you know, they're not bringing Jameis Winston up to New England, I don't think. Do any of you think that? No. So what are they going to do? That's the biggest reason I think they'll keep Tom Brady. Plus, he's been there for 20 years. To me, really, if you're going to just play one more year, and maybe he thinks he's going to play more, but if you're just going to play one more or two more years, it'd really just be a lot easier to keep doing what you've been doing. And trust that Bill Belichick can improve what's around him. So anyway, my whole point of all this, there's been a lot of talk about it. People keep saying, hey, it's not as far-fetched as you think, Bobby. They could bring him in. It makes sense. And a lot of it on paper kind of does, I guess. I mean, again, we've got all those guys I talked about. We got Godwin. We got Mike Evans. We got, you know, plenty of people. We got tight ends galore. But still, I just, everything I know, everything I've, I mean, I've been watching all these teams for years. I mean, even the Rays. Remember the Rays? Like, even when the Rays get someone who ends up being a stud, you don't think much of it at the time, you know? Like, they never just go make a splash. That's not how they work. And what they do works really well, but that's just not how they work. I remember the Rays at the 2008 trade deadline. 2008 for the Rays was the first time they were ever good. It was the first time anything ever meant anything. Like, they literally had never played an important game ever until 2008. So then the 2008 trade deadline came along, and I remember, like, being as excited for that day as I was for any game. I was like, this is it, man. Like, the Rays are going to make a splash. I remember the guy, it was Jason Bay, who was like the big prize target. We're going to get Jason Bay. I think he was with the Pirates at the time. And there was actually a report that the deal was done. And I remember, like, my friends calling me, can you believe we did it? Like, I didn't think we'd actually do it. I thought some other team would go in there and get him. And so what happened, if you remember, if you follow baseball, Jason Bay, the reports were premature. The Rays didn't get him, in fact. And in fact, not only did they not get him, but the team they were in direct competition with, Boston, got him instead, which is what always happens to Tampa teams. Except the next thing that happened wasn't what always happened to Tampa teams, because the Rays went ahead and won the AL East anyway, and won the ALCS over Boston anyway, and they did it by forcing out, at second base, Jason Bay, who was on first, when Aki fielded the ground ball and took it himself and tagged second to get Jason Bay out. I remember all that very clearly. And it was perfect. This is why I tell you, I'm not complaining, because I'd rather it be that way than if we were the ones that always got the guy. I wouldn't want to, if I was starting over and you said, oh, you can be a Yankees fan, I wouldn't want to be, I'd much rather be it the way it is. It's way more fun this way. I can't imagine being a fan of one of those teams like the Yankees or the Lakers, or, you know, pick your franchise, whatever it is, your national brand franchise, the Cowboys or something like that. To me, that just seems no fun at all. No fun at all. I mean, the Yankees could win 20 World Series and not one of them would be as fun as it was just the night the Rays won the damn ALCS. Forget the World Series. There's nothing like that when your teams aren't that good and you never get attention paid to you and you just kind of exist in your own little bubble down here, our little happy harbor by the bay, and every once in a while they crop up and they do something fun and it's as memorable, you know, obviously Ronnie Barber in Philly, the Super Bowl, all that stuff. Lightning are kind of the only ones breaking that mold because they've been consistently like one of the best teams in the NHL for a long time, but it's not because of anything glamorous. So I'm fine with it. Like it the way it is. And just as far as purely having Tom Brady, I think it would help. I mean, yeah, I think Bruce Arians is right to consider that. And as a fan, like I've said, we talked about this a few shows ago when this first came out. Just the very idea of Tampa Bay being in the spotlight. And, you know, the schedule gets made. It's getting made as we speak, but it doesn't come out till April. But if Tom Brady were to sign with the Bucs, you know, we'd be on Sunday night football. We'd be on Monday night football. We'd probably be playing as many night games as day games if we signed Tom Brady. I mean, imagine that. You know, like us, little old Tampa Bay. That'd be cool for a little while, but it's also not the reason you do stuff like this. So then we get back to the Bucs. It's become appearing to be increasingly unlikely the Bucs are going to use that franchise tag that we've talked so much about, or the transition tag. You know, it seemed like for a while that was going to make the most sense. Like, hey, you can't sign this guy long term. You're not going to let him go. Yeah, $27 million 1 year. Kick it down the road 1 year and we'll do it. Jameis doesn't want that. And it appears the Bucs aren't prepared to do that either. So, what's going to happen? Well, I mean, again, if you look at all the quotes, the Bucs are not going out of their way to make Jameis Winston feel wanted. I don't think they're going out of the way to make him feel unwanted either. But it's all these very, very tepid, lukewarm. Here's Jason Light, quote, I would say disappointment, but not quite to the degree that many think. It's not like we don't like Jameis. We do like Jameis. We have to prepare for every scenario. This is a unique year where there's a lot of experienced quarterbacks that could potentially become free agents. We won't know that for a while now. What's going to happen? Who's going to be available? We don't know. We just prepare for every scenario, and Jameis is definitely one of those scenarios and one of those options. We feel like we can win with Jameis. I added the definitely there, okay? Because I was kind of paraphrasing him a little bit, because it sounds like the way that sounds is like when a buddy, or I shouldn't even say a buddy, like when a female friend is trying to set you up with somebody she knows, and you're just like, I mean, yeah, maybe I'll do this. Let me just kind of, like, you know, there's the type of person that may be floated at you where you're like, they can barely get half the sentence out. You're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yes, yeah, blind date, let's go, set me up. Or not even blind date, but just, you know, yeah, matchmaker, I'm in for this one. And then there's others where you're like, oh, hell no. And then the vast majority of them are kind of like, yeah, I mean, okay, you know, I mean, if for no other reason that I have nothing else to do. And that's what the Jason Light sounds like here. It's like, no, no, I swear I really kind of like him. It's just that I want to see, I don't like him enough to actually, you know, go out with him. And again, that's not a perfect analogy because this isn't somebody new. This is somebody the Bucks already know. But I'm just saying that general tenor of just meh-ness, if you will, is where the Bucks are on Jameis Winston. But we've been through this before. I still don't know what their plan would be. And here's the thing. The dates don't line up. We mentioned this before. They do not line up. The deadline to do the franchise tag is March 12th. Okay? So you got to do it by then, whether it's the franchise or the transition tag. When does free agency start? When do the dominoes start falling? When do you really realize what's out there and what's not? Whether Philip Rivers is going here or there, if Tom Brady's re-signing here or there. When do you find all that out? March 18th, 6 days later. So you can't wait for free agency to start and then be like, yeah, we're going to franchise Jameis after all. I think that's the play here. You don't get to wait that long. You have to do it before you know anything else. So if the Bucks want to not do that, they're going to have to take a gamble of sorts, because then they just let Winston become a run-of-the-mill free agent. They've got no more claim to him than anybody else just because he played for them last year. Once free agency starts and they haven't done the franchise tag, he's just out there. And then they could still re-sign him just like any other free agent to any deal they want to and that he wants to. And that could be 2 years. You know, you've heard like, oh, they're going to do a 2-year deal, 3-year deal. So the risk you run there, if you really do want Jameis back, is that, well, you know, somebody else may come over the top. Who would do that? I mean, you know, there's the Colts, I guess. And we, again, this all depends, again, on the other things. But there's the Colts. There's the Raiders, if they want to move on from Carr. If Brady's going to leave, I guess you could say the Patriots, although I can't see that. The Chargers, maybe. Okay, yeah, there's a few teams. I mean, quarterbacks are quarterbacks. And I think Jameis Winston, while valuable, is more valuable to the Bucks than these other teams. I've said it every single week, but I really put a lot of stock into what Carson Palmer said about Bruce Arians' offense and how difficult it is in that first year and how it gets much more clear in the second season. And to me, and you know, maybe I think this even harder than Bruce Arians himself, but to me, and that resonated. I mean, forget all the LASIK stuff and everything else that we've talked about half-kiddingly, but not whole-kiddingly, just half-kiddingly, because I think that will help. But just that transition to the second year and being more sure of yourself and being, you know, less hesitant, less thinking, more reacting, I mean, that's important with anything in life. And Carson Palmer, in that interview of a couple months back or whenever it was, you know, that resonated with me. Maybe it doesn't resonate with other people. Maybe it doesn't resonate with Bruce Arians himself. But I think he's got, I mean, Jameis. I think Jameis has more value to the Bucks than just going to some other team and starting new. Now, maybe Belichick thinks Josh McDaniels is going to work his magic, or maybe not, or maybe one of these other teams, you know, thinks so. I mean, I can't. Can you imagine Jameis with Gruden? I mean, seriously, try to imagine that for a minute. Like, try to imagine Gruden, like, processing just one of those mind-boggling picks that he throws right at somebody. I mean, Gruden would swallow his own tongue. Like, he'd bite it off and swallow it on the sideline. And even though I think at the end of the day the Bucks are keeping Jameis, I actually would look forward to that scenario. I would like to see Jameis go with Gruden. I mean, that'd be fun. But, I mean, you can't really... Again, these are hard things to imagine. Now, hard things to imagine end up happening in real life all the time. So I'm not ruling any of it out. But that's what the Bucks, if they don't... And they're not. I mean, this is, it's pretty clear now they're not going to use that franchise tag. Because they could even, you know, there is a little period in between. March 12th is when you got to use the tag. Free agency's on the 18th. There's a legal tampering period, which is still the funniest term in sports to me, the legal tampering period, for 3 days inside of that window where teams can talk to free agents without actually signing them, and you can get an idea, and you're allowed to rescind the franchise tag, even if you used it, you know, a few days before on March 12th, and then you find out something that you didn't think you knew. Once the legal tampering period starts, you can say, oh, never mind, pulling that franchise back. You can do that too, but it doesn't look like the Bucks will even go that route. They're just going to let this thing go cold, and we'll play a big old game of chicken here. And what comes out on the other side, who knows? Of course, then there's the draft, although Jason Light has even said he doesn't see a first-year quarterback having the franchise like thrown into his hands at this point. It was different when they drafted Jameis and where they were than where they are now. You know, and we'll see. At 14, I don't think they'd be able to get any of the big, you know, splash guy, Burrow or Tua. I don't think so. I don't even know, you know, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love. You can get Jalen Hurts maybe later on. Who the hell knows? Point is, that ain't going to be one of the guys for 2020. So, you know the names. We'll go through them one more time. Rivers, Bridgewater. Those are the two easy ones. Of course, we already talked about Brady. Cam? I don't want Cam. I don't like Cam Newton all that much, to be honest with you. It would be hard to root for him as the Bucs quarterback. And it's not just because he's the quarterback of another team in the division. I don't believe in, like, I don't care about rivalries and all that. It just, that's a hard pass for me. Andy Dalton's a hard pass for me if they worked out a deal. Foles, David Carr, meh. Nobody, I'd rather just take my chances to see if Jameis gets better than any of those. So if it ain't Tom Brady, and I don't think it is, then I still think it's Jameis, and that's where we're going to leave it. Email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, bobbygameday@yahoo.com on Twitter. You can get me at bobbygameday. As far as the rest of the combine, I mean, there's rumors and all kinds of things. Each team, there's 32 teams, and each of them gets 45 official interviews, and that's not even to speak of all the just chats you can have with people, but like the 45 sit-down interviews. So it's a lot of people. So you hear, oh, so-and-so, the Bucks talk to so-and-so. Every team talked to almost every other so-and-so, okay? I mean, the Bucks probably didn't talk to Joe Burrow, but other than that, they're talking to, like, everybody. So is every team, and it does not mean your team is drafting them. It doesn't mean much of anything. It's just information gathering. You know, there's some talk about Chaisson from LSU. There's always a couple, like, hot names du jour that come up every year at the Combine. Your chances of your team drafting them are no different than any other team's chances of drafting that guy. People try and tie things and make connections, and there's no way to know any of it. So we'll kind of, you know, as the draft gets closer, then this stuff will get hotter and heavier. I'm just going to enjoy watching the combine. I mean, I really do enjoy, and this is maybe just weird by me, but I'm a, you know, strength and conditioning guy. I'm into that stuff. I'm not a trainer, but I'm always very interested to learn more. And, you know, I like to lift. I like to see what other guys who are way better than me can do and how they got to be able to do it, and then try and do it myself, even though like 99% of it is just Mother Nature, you know. But still, hey, what's that guy's squat? Oh, he squatted 680? Cool. I squat 350, so maybe I could like use that to squat 360 instead of 350 while this guy squats the Queen Mary. But that's how I am. I like to watch the 40s and watch guys run 425s and the verticals. And, you know, I like to love the bench press competition. Love seeing the punter from Arizona State, even though he has no reason to do the bench press, do it just because he knew he could dominate. Do 25 reps at 225, which, folks, that's really strong. Like, I don't need, again, so, this guy didn't even look like, I mean, he was big, but he wasn't that big. He's a punter, and he just wanted to show off his abilities, which is absolutely what I would have done if I was a punter and could bench press 225 25 times. I would go in there with all the linemen with like a smirk on my face and be like, oh, cool, you did 23 reps. That's cool. Hang on a second. And then I'd go bust out my 25 as like a tall, like lean punter. But I mean, I work out. I'm older now. I've probably dipped a little bit, but I can still get 225 up there like 8 times, maybe 10 on a good day. And I consider myself fairly strong. A lot of you listening out there are probably stronger, and a lot of you may not be. But the point is, like, that's pretty good. And so when I see, like, these, like, 5'10", like, 185-pound DBs, and, that, you know, he just, you know, not very strong, 12 reps, 14 reps on the 225, I'm like, no, wait a minute, that's really strong. Give him credit. You know, I'm, like, screaming at the TV, even though this guy's going out there and, like, doing it, like, 36 times, like the way I do the bar with no weight on it. So I'm always amazed at watching this stuff. So I'm enjoying it for that purpose alone. And I like how they put it on in prime time, so it gives me something to do after I get the kids in bed, you know, go watch a little combine stuff. But there's nothing really of note going on that we're going to know about. There may be things of note going on, but it's not the stuff you see on Twitter or breathless reports of this, that, or the other. It just isn't. So what else did we find out this week at the combine before we close out the show? There was one other thing. And for some of you, it may not matter at all, but for me, I thought it was a pretty big deal. In doing one of his interviews, Bruce Arians was asked by somebody at the very end of the interview, just kind of a throwaway thing, hey, what's going on with the uniforms? You know, Bucks are getting new uniforms, we saw. And that's official now. We've talked about it before, but that was when there were just hints about it. They're officially doing it. And it was kind of like a fun little thing at the end of an interview, and Bruce Arians said, oh, yeah, they didn't even tell me about it. They're just doing it. Nobody consulted me, you know, joking around. And they said, well, have you seen them? And he said, yeah, I've seen them. He said, they're like the Super Bowl ones. Or he said closer to the Super Bowl ones is what he said. And he said he'd seen a sketch, not the actual uniforms. So for someone like me, of course, like this is clearly the biggest piece of news coming out of the combine. Or whatever we do with Jameis Winston or Tom Brady or whoever else, that quarterback will be here for what, a year, two, three, maybe 4 years, and he'll be gone. These uniforms, this is going to be what we look at. Like, this is going to be what the Bucks look like, hopefully, if they get it right and keep it, for decades to come. Maybe I'm naive, you know? The way they do things now is nobody ever leaves anything alone for 5 minutes. But way more important to me than who the quarterback will be. That'll get figured out, whatever. But this is it. We get one shot. They ain't going to change another 5 years just like they just changed after these past 5 years or 6 years, whatever it is. So I am freaking out until this comes out because my trust level is at an all-time low. I feel like there's like a 95% chance I'm going to hate them and I'm going to be... I don't think I'll hate them as much as I think they'll definitely be better than what we have now, but I'm still worried because that, you know, you're going for perfection, right? In my mind. But nothing's ever perfect anymore. The only things that are perfect are the things that are already here. Anything, the new stuff is never good. That's the way, I mean, look at like the Titans. Look at all these teams. Any team that makes a change, they always look worse. Now, in this case, we can't look worse. But anyway, he said like the Super Bowl ones. So I'm clinging to that right now. And ideally, they would have just cleaned up the Super Bowl ones, if that's what we're calling them. And, you know, never gone down the road they went down. But my biggest thing, and I'm just going to say this today because it's to me it's important. The Glazer boys said, we heard the fans loud and clear. So I kind of latched onto that quote and it worried me a little bit because what do you hear the most nowadays? People want the throwback. They miss the throwbacks. I believe that the original Bucks uniforms, white helmet, orange jersey, white pants, the original home uniform, Bucko Bruce on the helmet. I believe it's the most perfect uniform ever created by mankind. And if it were up to me, they would have never changed. And that'd be just like the Packers and the Steelers and the Cowboys. They'd look the same today as they did in 1984, whatever you want to call it. Like, that was the most perfect uniform ever created to me. And not only that, it was iconic. Like you thought Tampa Bay. I don't associate uniforms with wins and losses. People say, oh, well, they lost in those. I don't care about that. I only care about what looks good. You'll eventually win. They would have won the Super Bowl in those uniforms. It's not like changing in 1997 led to the Super Bowl. But anyway, my point is, if you were going to say these are our uniforms again, that'd be awesome. But it has to be those exact uniforms going back to them. Don't try to meld the two eras together. It doesn't work. And don't come out with a white helmet just because of the NFL's one helmet rule so that you can wear the throwbacks. I think people keep saying, oh, we want the throwbacks once a year. And I'm worried the Glazers are going to say, hey, let's make the new unis with a white helmet. That way we can give them the throwbacks. Everybody's happy. But the throwback's one game a year, and a white helmet does not look good with red and pewter. It needs to be a pewter helmet. You need to keep the template that they have had. Pewter helmet, red jersey, pewter pants. That needs to stay unchanged because that's your brand. That's what everybody recognizes. So I'm really worried they're going to do a white helmet with that instead, and it won't look good. I can tell you right now it won't look good. Darker colors need a darker lid. You can't have a white helmet on top of dark colors. It looks like a hollow top. So I'm worried about that. Even though they're going to say, oh, well, this is what the fans wanted. Now you get your throwbacks, Bobby. Aren't you happy? Hey, you know I love the throwbacks. You know it's my favorite uniform ever, but you either wear it or you don't. And changing your entire uniform, and the helmet's the most important thing of the whole uniform, to change that for one game a year at the expense of the other 15 is the very definition of the tail wagging the dog, and we must not let the tail wag the dog. Keep the helmet. Don't even, I would make the logo a little smaller. It could still be bigger than the old logo, but it's too big now. Just a little smaller. Chrome face mask is fine. Keep it. And then I would just make the jersey and the pants look like the Super Bowl era. I'd clean the striping up. I wouldn't use black anymore, just pewter and red. I've tweeted out that somebody on Reddit already made the perfect mock-up. That's what it should be. So anyway, I'm a little worried about that. But Bruce Arians' words, while they do give me some hope, I'm still just, I just can't have confidence. I mean, it's still the Glazers who made this decision to begin with to get us in the mess we're in, and it's still Nike, and that's the big one. As long as Nike's involved, I mean, they can never, ever do things just nice and clean and simple. They always have to add some stupid wrinkles or some not, you know, truncated stripes, weird angles, just crap. Everything they do is crap, okay? Todd Van Horn, if you're listening, you suck. He's the guy that did the Bucks original, or not original, but the most previous ones. He's some Nike exec. I don't know if he still works for him, but if you're listening, Todd, you blow. I can't stand your work, and it's ridiculous you get paid to do what you do. But anyway, he can't do that. They can't do anything. Nike's not in charge. The Glazers are in charge. The Bucks are the client. So it comes back to them and their judgment. And so I hope I'm wrong and that these end up being awesome, but that scares me. Anyway, we shall see. And in the meantime, that is it for this Combine Week edition of the Free Stretch. Thanks to all you guys. Hey, listen, thanks so much for listening. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform here on JoeBucksFan.com, the number one place anywhere on the internet or anywhere else for Bucks coverage. Thanks to our sponsors at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to all of you. Enjoy the weekend. You know, we got the XFL going. Maybe the Vipers get their first win. Hopefully. It's high time. But if not, we got other stuff going on, and we'll be back next week with anything else that we find out from the goings-on up at the Combine in Indianapolis. So have a safe weekend, have fun, get together with friends, do whatever it is everybody likes to do, and I'll be back next week. In the meantime, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks. Stay.